Your support is important to Living on Earth. Donate today by pressing the donate link on the left of this page. Every bit helps. And thanks.
America has long dreamed of growing its way to energy independence, ethanol, biodiesel, and other plant-based fuels to wean us from climate-changing, budget-busting oil. But biofuels have baggage. They take lots of energy, fertilizer, farmland, and water. Well, now some university labs and high-tech companies promise a way past those problems. These ambitious scientists and entrepreneurs use genetic engineering to get fuel straight out of tiny plants and microbes. It's a process called direct solar liquid energy. Joule Biotechnologies CEO Bill Sims gives me the tour of his Cambridge, Massachusetts lab.
So in this lab, we are actually testing our solar converters.
Sims points to tabletop-sized rectangular plastic frames, each with dozens of clear, skinny tubes running their length. Each tube bubbles with a greenish liquid. The bubbles are carbon dioxide. The greenish color comes from a tiny, genetically modified organism, a plant or bacteria maybe. Sims won't say just what.
So we use the tools of synthetic biology in order to start with a base organism, but actually by modifying pathways, create new organisms that we have engineered to directly secrete fuels and chemicals.
One engineered organism can make ethanol. Another makes diesel fuel. Sims envisions these panels in a sunny somewhere, soaking up CO2 from a power plant and sending a constant stream of fuel-laden water to a separation facility. He says an acre of the solar converters could produce many times what biofuel crops do.
So there's no intermediary like cellulose or like algae that has to be grown, has to be processed as part of their process to create fuels or chemicals. We also don't require fresh water. We don't require agricultural land. We are converting CO2 into what is viewed as by most people as bad into something good, renewable clean fuel.
So let me see if I got this straight. CO2, sun, your genetically tweaked organism, poof, out the other end comes fuel.
Yep, this is revolutionary technology, there's no doubt about it. Call it what you will, transformational, game-changing, etc., but it's an entirely new way, using the power of the sun in a unique way. We aren't converting sunlight to electrons, we're converting sunlight to liquid fuels in a cost-effective manner that has essentially an unlimited supply.
I got to say, it sounds a little too good to be true, but you're saying this works for real.
It works for real. We get continued improvements in our productivity, and we're finalizing our negotiations to break ground on a pilot plant in early 2010.
But you're still not going to tell us what the organism actually is.
That's right. The critter is still a secret.
But it's not an algae?
It is not algae.
Is it duckweed?
All we've said is that it's a highly engineered photosynthetic organism that's not algae.
Sims is tight-lipped when it comes to intellectual property, a common trait among the handful of companies trying this technology. In academia, things are a bit more open source. Biochemistry professor Larry Wackett leads a team at the University of Minnesota taking a different approach to direct solar fuels. Wackett says no matter how much you modify an organism, you can only teach it so many tricks.
If you try to engineer that organism to do many additional things, it puts stress on it, and it's often very difficult to highly engineer that to do all of the things that you want.
Wackett's working on a bacterial buddy system, a genetically modified cyanobacteria, the ancient bugs that were the Earth's first photosynthesizers, and a bacteria called Schuonella, which is good at churning out the building blocks of hydrocarbon fuels.
Now if you take a photosynthetic organism, something that harvests sunlight, and then you take another organism that will now take the energy from photosynthetic organism, the carbon, and convert that into something that you want, like a hydrocarbon, this could be a very effective team.
Are you kind of mimicking symbiosis in nature here?
Yes, we are. In fact, in a way, we're kind of learning from nature. You know, we want to see how nature does things and then really more or less adapt it to this specific task. So rather than trying to fight this, we're saying, hey, let's go with the flow and use it.
Professor Wackett's Minnesota team was among three universities to win highly competitive grants last month from the Department of Energy to develop direct solar liquid fuels. And the Minnesota lab has spun out a small company called BioC. I called up Jim Lane to get a feel for how these direct solar startup companies are doing. Lane keeps tabs on the industry as editor of Biofuels Digest. He says the companies already have a nickname, the Magic Bug Guys, and they're generating a lot of buzz.
The energy has been building up for several years in research, and the two companies that have gotten a lot of attention lately, Juul Biotechnologies and also BioC, they've really proven at the bench scale that their technology works.
So what is the general reaction within the industry to what Juul and other companies say they can do here?
The idea that there are a couple of companies out there that are getting close to doing it and may have actually come up with a solution is incredibly exciting. But there is, of course, that healthy skepticism of any company that is, you know, not yet at this point building out to scale. If you compare this to, let's say, the Apollo Moonshot program, we'd be in about 1962, which is when the Saturn V was first announced. We've got a long ways to go before we're actually landing on the moon and can declare a victory, but we're at a milestone point for sure.
Lane says the magic bug approach is attracting a lot of venture capital, bets that the answer to our biggest energy problem might come from a very tiny package.
Coming up, the trees of the Bronx tell us about their roots. Keep listening to Living on Earth.